Om Shanti. Today, as we are approaching the new year, and we have made, I'm sure, many resolutions for the new year, and we are also expecting Baba to say many things tonight. So all of you must be preparing yourselves for meeting Baba tonight. But Baba always says that whole of Sangam Yug is for us to rejoice, is for us to celebrate. And therefore a very special topic has been given to Brother Bridge Mohan today. Live, love and laugh. Very interesting topic. It suits him very well because he has all these qualities. I'm sure all of you know Brother Bridge Mohan. Is there anyone who doesn't know him? Acha, a few. Brother Bridge Mohan is our very special brother. He is one of the senior brothers of the Yajna, helping the dadis in the administration of this Yajna. He is one of the pioneers when service began in India after 1952. At that time he was only a law student. But then it's a long story of how he dedicated his whole life for Baba. Just Baba and none other. And today, he lives in Pandav Bhavan, Delhi. He is a chief editor of our Purity magazine, which all of you must be reading. He's also written many books and is a member of all our different sister bodies we have of this organization. And a very active member too, many, many things on his side. He has traveled widely all over the world and very special child of Baba. His greatness is his humor, and that humor is such an easy manner with that lightness, but in that lightness there is so much depth. Some people might not understand that humor in the lightness and still the depth. But still, I'm sure you'll be able to catch and take great benefit from his class. He has come all the way from Shantivan just to meet you. So we give him a big hand. So he'll share his views on the topic, live, love and laugh.
Om Shanti. So, as we are expecting, I wish you in advance a Happy New Year. And for the BKs, it is truly a Happy New Year. If you will be reading this month's Purity, and there is a write-up on New Year greetings, how different people do it in different ways, including how BKs do, and also about New Year's resolutions. So Mr. Wise has talked about New Year's resolutions, and there is some write-up, 4 or 5 styles of New Year greetings. When on the phone, Sister Meera gave me the topic, I heard it as live, love and law. Now I learn it is laugh. Huh? Now, Baba says in the Muralis, topic does not matter at all. It is the stage of the soul. It should be top class. Topic doesn't matter. But still we have to remain within the topic. So let us start with live. Because the first part of the topic is live. Now, if we are not living, we can neither love nor laugh. No dead person can love or laugh. So living is the very important. Only a living being can love and laugh. And when people greet for the new year, they say, thank God, we are alive. We have lived through at least the last year, and we hope we shall be alive to exchange greeting next year also. Such is the uncertainty of the times. Now, in the spiritual definition of the soul, given in the Indian scriptures, it has three words. First is, soul is truth, satya. The second is, soul is alive, chaitanya. A dead thing or an object cannot be soul. A dead body becomes dead when the soul goes out. The third is, soul is blissful. So in Hindi we say, Atma is Sat Chit Anand Sarup. Soul is truth, soul is alive, conscious, and soul is blissful. Now, what is the meaning of truth? To be very simple, truth is that was, that is, and that will be. Truth is eternal. So, compared with the body or the living being, the part that is eternal is the soul. The living being has time span, has a time frame, is born, grows, leaves the body. So if one has to be soul conscious, so one has to identify with the truth, that is the eternal being inside. If we identify with the body, then we are supposed to die. That's why there is another prayer in India. O God, lead us from death to immortality. There is a prayer. Lead us from untruth to truth, darkness to light, and death to immortality. So in one stroke, Baba has given the fruit of that prayer to us. We are already immortal, just by knowing that we are soul, and we are already understanding the truth, just being we are the soul, and it is the first step from darkness to light or enlightenment that we are the soul. Now, the third part of this definition, that is, soul is blissful, has much to do with the second two parts of the topic. Well, love and laughter. You will have antonyms for all other qualities of the soul, which we normally describe. We say soul is peaceful. So the opposite is also there. Today my mind is peaceless. Soul is loveful. But the opposite is also there, hatred. this person has hatred for this person, negative value. Anything you say, soul is happy. Someday a person is unhappy. So all the words that we use normally will have antonyms or opposites. But there is no antonym to bliss, which is the definition of the soul. Soul is blissful. So when we are in the body, we can be happy, unhappy, sorrowful, joyful, peaceful, peaceless, etc. But if we are sticking to the truth of being a soul, soul is very much alive, soul is very much experiencing, it has got, soul only has got feelings of emotions and all those things, so it is alive, and then soul in its true form is blissful. That bliss is super sensual joy or happiness, as we call it. All other things are through senses. Happiness, unhappiness, joy, taste, even love. But as a soul, bliss includes all these things. And you need not have any bodily organ to be blissful, because that is our own soul's quality, blissful. Now so much for the living being. Next one, love. In this world, if you want to describe practical spirituality or living spirituality in very simple words, only two words are needed. One is truth, because spirituality begins and ends with being a soul. And second is love. If we want a definition, truth is the science of life, and love is the technology of life, or you can call it applied science of life. Science gives a formula, and when you apply that formula, make appliances of it, then that formula is practically used. So truth is the science of life. I am soul, my father is supreme soul, all are brother souls, and then to use that truth in body form, it is the love. The proof of these two values or these two characteristics or qualities being topmost is that they are compared to God. They are equated to God. No other quality or attribute will be equated to God. We say God is merciful, but we'll never say mercy is God. We say God is compassionate or kind, but we never say kindness is God. But you might have noticed, at least in India, behind many buses and many schools and colleges, truth is God. Not God is truth. Truth is God, and the second quality will be written, love is God. So these two are the primary or the basic qualities, and which are so godlike that if we want to become godlike, we have just to be in awareness of these two and practice these two in our life. Such is the importance of love. You give a person everything in the world, but just deny love. How would the person feel? like a fish out of water. Love is the cement which solidifies the relationship, which joins things together, and if love is not there, it is sand. And you cannot build a good structure with sand. Sand is needed, but the cementing force which joins is love. And when love gets perverted, that is, it is not based on truth. Love is the second quality, it is the applied truth. So if you base your love on truth, that is the first formula, science, then truth will be giving you all that you require. You may not have so much of material possessions even, but if you have love based on truth, your life will be quite blissful, happy, joyful, pleasant. But if first thing is not observed, that is, I base my love not on truth of soul consciousness or God consciousness, but on body consciousness, then love gets perverted. The word is still there, love, but it will be a love for getting. The original love is an outgoing urge to give. Love is to be given. When we are fulfilled with love, we are personified love, we are nothing but love, it outflows. You don't require it. And when it outflows from all of us, then the world becomes paradise. But when love gets perverted, then we seek love. We want to get it. And it gets changed into the five weaknesses. Love for flesh, love for money, love for objects, love for relationships, love of my post and position. And if any of these is threatened, I get angry. So that is a defense for keeping these, but all these mean, love for flesh means calm, love for money means greed, love for people means attachment, love for your post and position means ego. So this is perverted love, negative love, which is we always try to get, not to give. Get more of this, get more of. So the whole thing gets perverted. And we get into a situation as is today. Now, Baba tells us, my dear children, you must have love. I am ocean of love. You are also the form of love. But one thing is to be very carefully noted. That prayer said, lead us from darkness to light. Can darkness and light coexist at the same time, at the same place? What is the answer? Yes or no? No. Because darkness is the absence of light, actually. Just as ignorance is the absence of knowledge. It is a parasite, it doesn't have any existence of its own. Untruth is absence of truth, it doesn't have its own existence. So that is why it is said, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from untruth to truth, lead us from mortality to immortality. Ignorance of being soul is mortality. I am already immortal, but because I don't identify with the soul, I become mortal, starts getting fear of death. So, If darkness and light cannot coexist, can love and hate coexist? That is the question. Can a person or a soul be both loveful and hateful at the same time? Here lies the dark area where we get confused. People think that I love all the people of the world as my spiritual brothers and sisters, but I cannot be compatible with the person with whom I live in the same room. But this is just a small percentage, just a small portion of the love that I represent. Just as one person only living with me, I want to sleep, that person puts on the light. I want to put on the light, that person says, no, I want to sleep. I want to take a little rest, that person goes to the toilet and start making noise, and so on and so forth. Or even in conversation, I can be benevolent and giver of love to the whole world, excepting one person. Maybe your life partner, maybe your office boss or your colleague or your neighbor. So this is the thing. If it is not possible for nectar and poison to mix, one drum full of nectar, put a drop of poison in it, will it remain nectar? Or reverse, put lot of poison into a drum of nectar. Again, either way, it will become poisonous, but it will not become nectar. So simple, because only a white cloth can be stained. A dark cloth cannot be stained. You can put anything on it, it will remain the same. So for the same reason, if pure nectar is pure nectar, then pure love is pure love. Otherwise, it is not pure. It becomes selfish. And if you try and test it, it will fail you. You will feel betrayed. You will feel cheated. So for that reason, it must be clearly understood that it has to be 100% pure. Nobody accepts an adulterated thing. Now, some people say, a human being, as a human being, must have maybe more of one quality, have little bit of its other side also. To err is human. Agreed. Human beings can have this weakness, but those souls who want to be in the golden age, who want to be the angels, who are to become deities, they cannot have this. Recently, in Cuttack, part of India, there was a jurist conference. So I was to speak. So after I had spoken, they told me I should speak a little more. So I had to restart. So I forgot the topic and I asked them a question. I said, now I should redo something else. So I asked them, okay, simple thing. Is taking a shower a sin or a good act? Simple question. Taking a shower, is it a sin or it is a good action? I asked the jurist what you will say. Now, one person who was on the stage, who was a co-speaker, a judge, in his speech, he said, I think there are three type of people. One are yogis, other are bhogis, and third are rogis, which means the diseased people. So a shower by a yogi is a good action, and shower by, he tried to explain it. But I had intentionally put this question. The question is, you can't make a list of good and bad. That this is a dictionary of good things, and this is another compilation of bad things. One has to see who is taking shower and for what. If a robber or a murderer is getting ready and taking shower, then his shower also becomes a part of his, he's a robber, so robber taking shower means bad action. And if a good person is taking shower to go and now meditate, then it becomes a good action. So similarly, if you expand it, how can you describe a person as a good person or a bad person? Now, United States is a rich country. They may be giving maximum charity to the whole world for various purposes, for poverty, for disease eradication, for so on and so forth. So normally charity is a good action. But if you see the strings attached to that charity, then the story is different. Similarly, we cannot have a mixed person and say he is only 5% bad. Only sometime of the 24 hours of the day, he goes out for half an hour and just kills one person. Rest of the 23 and a half hours is a normal person. No. So because of this, a person can be either good or bad, he cannot be mixed. That is why Baba says, from copper age downwards, there is not a single soul who can be called a pure soul. And it includes even those who are coming new from the Paramdham. It includes our divine fathers, our so many gurus, so many religious people. Why? Because when it is night for everyone. When it is day for even the sparrows and pigeons. So the question is that we are in an era of downfall, and the very birth that takes place is by an impure process. So a person, a new soul even, born by impure process, taking a body by that, like a gem getting into a dirty cover. So like that, it is such a subtle thing that we must understand the power of Maya, the dominance of Maya, and out of that, we are there to get out of it. Both Baba says Maya is not less powerful. Baba is almighty, Maya is not less powerful. If you want to distinguish, Baba's kingdom lasts for half the time, Maya's kingdom lasts for half the time. But in Baba's kingdom, created by Baba, Maya is not allowed to enter. And Maya's kingdom, Baba and Baba's children incognito enter, and they become present and they overthrow Maya. That is the difference. So for that reason, we say, don't look into the wrong things of others. Don't see the weaknesses of others. If you will do that, you will be on the path of downfall. First of all, you will ignore your own. We will try to justify ours, and we will try to magnify others. Many times Dadi Janki says, a soul says, I want to do this, but somehow I am not able to do it. I want to do, and I myself is not able to do. Take Amrit Vela. I want to be very active and very alert and really do powerful Amrit Vela. Who doesn't? But somehow I am not able to do it. This is first part of it. Secondly, I don't want to lose temper. I really feel I should be all the time peaceful and composed. But somehow I lose temper. So it is I who doesn't want to lose temper, and somehow I lose temper. This is my statement about myself. Then about others. He should have done this. Why doesn't he do it? He should have come to Amrit Vela in the morning. But why doesn't he do it? For myself, I want to do and I am unable to do. For others, I am saying, why he doesn't do it? And then, he should not have done this, why he did it? So, in other words, we become judge of others' actions and become advocates of our actions, start arguing and reasoning and making excuses. So it means we have double standards. It also means we are concerned about what others are doing, while we should be focused on what I should do and what I am doing. So therefore, our eyes or outlook has to be changed. Our third eye has to remain always open, not open and danger points, or when there is a problem, then it opens. Then Baba's remembrance also becomes strong. People go to Baba's room and sit, Baba save me from this, solve my this. But constantly, if you want an example, Dadi Prakashmani, she does not see wrong at all. Not that Dadi does not know what is right and what is wrong. But Dadi does not see the weak side of anything at all. And of course, Baba never looks at anyone's any weaknesses. As a parent, father and mother, the largest family holder, Baba says, I love my last child also as much as I love my first child. Parent. And how can Baba do that? How can anyone do that? How can Dadi do that? How can we do that? The only way is not to look at the weaknesses of others. We know that is the quality of the swan, holy hens that Baba describes, that the holy hens can distinguish between stone and gems, and take stones and leave out gems. Similarly, with the third eye, we know. But if we have not given up that attitude of looking at the weaknesses also, naturally our camera is the most powerful camera, the soul's camera, the camera of the mind. No camera of the world can compare with that. And instantly, it takes images and also the feelings. And then Baba has even permitted us to keep up to the level of our head. Don't develop that film. But we are by nature over the years and centuries used to do that. We have been living in an imperfect world for so long. And we have so much bad experiences and sad experiences of the world, that it gets into us, and then once it gets, then the picture gets twisted. And whenever you look at that person, the first thing that will come to mind is his weakness. And we can't, our communication becomes difficult. We can't be free. We have reservations about the person. And even with other people, we will convey that. We will be very, very cautious and careful. Then how can we have love with that person? Or that person can have free love with us? So problem comes. We can't respect the person. Then we don't get respect from the person. We don't give proper response. And you know, the vibrations are much more powerful than words. So then something happens, even without speaking. There is a saying, silence is the climax of speech. The person with whom you are not on speaking terms, you are speaking all the time with that person. You will be knowing more about that person than the person knows about himself. And you will pass on. So it is the one factor. If you, our love gets mixed up or perverted or little slightly twisted, not free and pure, then all other maladies follow, communications, then there will be some secrets kept, some reservations, making mountains of other person's molehills, and making molehills of our mountains, not caring about myself, caring more about not one person but others. Once one gets the nature of seeing fault, then one will see in all. And once one gets the nature of not seeing fault at all, you will not find fault with anything. And that is nothing but world drama. Once I was asked in the Peace Village in US to speak on something and choose my own topic. Very good, you select your own topic. So I chose the topic, right is right, wrong is also right. And I spoke on that purely on the basis of drama, that if you look at drama and the way it works, there can be no wrong. And everything ultimately will turn right. And unless a wrong thing goes to its extreme, you may try to set it right, it won't set it right. It will automatically vanish. When the extreme comes, then the end comes. But anyhow, the basic knowledge, that is to say, is distinguish between truth and falsehood. Distinguish between right and wrong. That is elementary jnana. But if you go to higher levels of jnana, then right is right, wrong is also right. If you want proof, if you look at the earth from the moon or a higher elevation, what you find? There is no Mount Everest, no deep ocean, no hills and no ditches, a pure round earth. Because the distance is such that we see a round thing. Similarly, if you see from a TV tower of Canada, a motor car down below, it looks like a matchbox. So, if we raise the level of our consciousness, then the big problems become small. And for an ant, even a drop of water is a deluge and it can get drowned in that. So if we come low, then everything will look big. So that is why for love is the technology of life. If we want to test my state of love, I have to see whether there is anyone in the world whom I do not love. That is one part of it. Or what is the percentage of people I am not on good terms with? Some years ago, Baba had allowed 5% margin. Okay, if 5% people for some reason are not on good terms with you, okay, but not beyond that. But now that is one part. The second and more complex is, how many people, they don't love me. Of course I am willing, but they are not willing to love me, then what will I do? I go with good intention to a person tomorrow, and maybe a gift or a bouquet, Happy New Year to you. And that person is so annoyed, so much hating me, takes my bouquet and throws it in the dustbin in my presence. Here you are. Possible. Then what I do? And he doesn't respond. And he says, okay, there is nothing happy in this world like that. So, for that, Baba says how to get into the situation. First thing is, everything has two sides. You can't clap with one hand. Of course, in Gyan we have started calling clap with one hand. But no sound is produced. So, and the second hand feels neglected. So, we should know that there is definitely a reaction of that person in my mind. I am free and able to talk to everyone, but when I talk to that person, I am not able to do it at all. So unless we wash off what we call forgive and forget, we are not forgiving that person. If we are forgiving that person, there is a feeling of mercy. Oh, I am so merciful. No. I am forgiving, in fact, myself. Because unless I forgive myself for starting that thing in a small way, I cannot forget what happened. And that will remain in my mind till I decide to forget. And this is Gyan. And it may be difficult to do with Gyan. But yoga, burn it. Baba says, burn past memories. Some people are very proud that they know all the things of the world, they remember. But of which world? If they remember the things of this old world only, then that is only troubling and memories of the old world. That is why Baba gives us Gyan. Memory is good. But what to remember and what to forget, what not to remember is equally important. And this thinking about others has two angles. If we think about others and we feel they are lower to my stage, spiritual stage, I become careless. Oh, out of so many souls, I stand here. I become careless. I am at least better than them. I am only looking at a very limited thing. Only looking at my center or my country. I am not taking into account all the Brahmins making effort all over the world. But I become careless. And if I look at those whom I think are higher than me, senior to me in spiritual effort, I become disheartened. Both ways I am a loser. So looking at others totally is not good for me. For example, you start thinking whether I will come in the rosary of 108 or not. Then what happens? Instead of thinking that Baba has given equal opportunity to every soul, whether that soul has come late in Gyan, or that soul has come 70 years ago, or 20 years ago, whether that soul is born in Bharat, or that soul is born in Chile, whether that soul is able to contribute money so much, or not contribute little, it doesn't matter at all, unless we are able to overcome this feeling. We have no chance. And then we will start counting. Eight. Eight means you start counting with dadis, it will be over. Oh, my chance. Although you are, Baba says only two seats are fixed, still there is a scope. And Baba never looks at anybody's fortune on the basis of number of years. You know, today's topic is live. It doesn't matter for how many years you have lived. What matters is what you have put into those years. Today will pass. But how much I put into that today and how much Dadi Janki puts into that today, if you compare, you will know there is much scope for putting more into our today, and that is live. And this living If I take care about myself, Baba keeps no distinction at all. Baba starts our account from the day we become Baba children. Baba is not concerned about the past. From that day onwards, up to the end, that is the period on the basis of which our marks are counted. Otherwise it becomes an unequal race. Everybody will say, oh, those who came 70 years ago, they stand all the chance. Those who are born in Bharat, they have seen Brahma Baba, they stand all the chance. But there are handicaps and there are plus points in both the things. Those who have seen Brahma Baba in body, when they see and sit in meditation, it is not possible that they will not first see the corporeal father before reaching the subtle father. Those who have not seen the corporeal father at all, their first stop is subtle world. You see the difference? It is like this. Similarly, if somebody is in Fiji, for example, very far off place, and comes to Madhuban to meet Baba, how much will be the pull? And that also for 10 days, or how much will be the pull? And those who live in Madhuban and see Baba Dada every time, how much will be the pull? If you take a piece of rubber band and just hold it up to its normal length, it will have no pull. If you pull it little further one side and leave it, it will have some pull. And if you pull it most, then it will have maximum pull. So always when something is precious, then it is more valuable. So comparatively, in one day, a soul who is loving Baba like fish out of water will have much more yoga, and it will start right a year back when that soul starts collecting the money for the airfare. From that day the yoga begins. This I have seen even in those living in the families. In India, we live in the center. So our Amrit Vela will start. It starts officially at 3:45. Leave aside individual effort. So 10 minutes before that, we start getting ready. And a soul that is living 1 mile away will start half an hour before, because that has to cover that distance also. Same for coming to the class. So who will collect more yoga? That soul. Because that soul starts thinking at 3:00, now I have to take shower, I have to get ready, and same about going back. So similarly, about the money contribution, many Murlis Baba has said, take the example of Divine Mother Mama. Mama was a girl belonging to a poor family. Baba made her the goddess of knowledge, and next birth Baba made her goddess of wealth. So if this is the scope, then why should we bother about this money and all that? And above all, our institution is named as what? What is the name of our institution? Of course we are children of Baba, everything. What is the name? It is a spiritual university, an educational institution. We are being educated to become deities from human beings. In the world, when we go to schools and colleges, they say, this school is for, college is for making engineers or doctors or barristers. Brahma Kumaris are for making human being a human being. But we say, human being a deity, because we are insiders. Alright. So most of the time, we are students. And Baba has said, a father also has to send his children, even a king, to learn the manners and other things and the art of governing, so that this prince can be a good heir apparent. If he doesn't do that, sometime the prince is debarred from becoming heir apparent, and the next child who is coming up will be made. Same thing applies here. Now if we are going to educational institution, does the teacher ever ask the student, what is the income of your father? What is your father doing? Is he an ordinary clerk in an office or he is a big police officer? What did you eat in your breakfast before coming to the school? What is the value of dress, price of dress that you are wearing? No. He only looks at how the student is doing in the studies. And if the student is bright, he even takes extra care to teach that student so that he will show the teacher. As they say, son shows father, student shows the teacher. He makes a good show of the teachers. Has the teacher ever asked the student, from how much distance you are coming to the school? Are you coming from the neighborhood or you are coming from 2 kilometers away? Or what conveyance you are using for coming to the school? It doesn't matter at all. So we start thinking that we give to Baba, even if monetary contribution we are giving. So first attitude should be, we are getting from Baba. When we were doing VIP service in Delhi, we used to take Dadi Janki also when she is there to top VIPs. So she taught us, never go with the consciousness that you have to get something from them. Always go in the consciousness, we are going to give him something. He is a VIP, very ignorant person. And you have to give him something, whatever. So that way, we do respect them for their status. Not that we become arrogant, but inside, we keep enough self-respect so that we don't feel that they are big people or they have a big post or a big office. Only then we can transact with them at equal level. So similarly, Baba says, I am the giver, I just get, so that I can have a reason why I give you and not to give to another person. In a sense, all are my children. So as I said, that we are as souls, our natural nature is being blissful. We are full of bliss. Now we came to this world, took these bodies, corporeal world, one blissful soul interacting with another blissful soul, so that we can experience that bliss and enhance that bliss. But in the process, if we, instead of enhancing at least, if we had kept it at the same level, there was no problem. There would not have been a downfall or a declining curve. But in the process of interacting and enhancing and enjoy our bliss, we have started losing little of it. It is said that in Rajasthan, there was a child gone to school. They belong to a community who are known for miserliness. They are money savers, spend very little. They are very rich community and they eat and live well, but it is their nature. So one day, child got the result from the school, his exam result, and he had got 97% marks. So he came home in the evening. Mother patted him on the back, said, very well done, child. Because in that community, few people go to schools and colleges for higher studies. Mostly they are in business. So she patted him and said, oh, as a joy, event of joy, I will make what you call halwa, you know. So she started making halwa of pure ghee. In India they use, especially that community. And it gives lot of aroma which can go to the next house also. So she was making that. Meanwhile, the father returned from the shop. And as he entered the house, he smelled nice halwa being made. So as he came, he asked his wife, "What is the event? You are making halwa?" She said, "Oh, you see, it's a matter of great joy that our this little one has got 97% marks. So I am celebrating that event." He pulled the child and gave him two strong slaps and beat him. He said, "What? Boy, we make 300 of 100 in business and you have lost even the principal, not even 100, 97. He gave him a beating. So similarly, if we look in the process of our karma, as the drama is, if you leave something unused, then it does not deteriorate. But as you put it into use, something happens. They call it by many names, law of entropy or whatever, law of thermodynamics, or in Gyan we call it Satopardhan to downfall. Right from day one of Satyuga, we start becoming old. In this hall you might have come yesterday also. So from yesterday to today, it has become old by one day, although it looks the same. We have also got more aged by one day than yesterday, but it looks the same. So similarly, this is the spiritual law, that everything is created new. Nothing old can be created, but it becomes old. So here we are. He lost 3 marks. Up to Treta, we lose very little, only 2 kalas, from 16 to 14. But today, we have lost most of it. And if we do not make any effort, let the law of inertia operate and let things go their own way, then what is going to happen? So another child was being beaten by his father outside the house with a stick. So a passerby said, "Why you are beating this child?" He said, "Tomorrow his school result is going to come and I am going out of station tomorrow." You see? So similarly, it may not so happen that Baba knows that there are certain souls, we may not be at least included in that, who will be seen in the Dharamrajpuri in the queue. Baba knows we are Purusharthi, we have got certain limitations, and Baba expects us to improve, not achieve perfection in one day. Now the time is nearing, so Baba expects us to improve very fast. So there was another child. His father asked him, "What is 8 multiplied by 10? And the bright son replied, 100. So the father said, well done child, you will show my name. Ask the mother to bring a chocolate for the child." Patted him on the back, "Very good, very good." Now a person was listening. He said, "What you are doing? He is saying 8 multiplied by 10 is 100 and you are patting him, pondering him." He said, "You do not know. Yesterday he had said 180. So therefore, now he has improved, so I am giving him shabash." So Baba also gives us shabash or well done children on this basis. So even if we are better this year than last year, we deserve to be congratulated by Baba, and you will get it, because whole years Baba's picture will see of ours. So basically, we are students and then live. This living is a different living for the Sangam Yogi, Baba's children, than the living of the other people. Because if you bring the drama cycle in front of you, it is a story of downfall. right from the day of Sri Krishna to Lakshmi Narayan downwards, there is a slow and steady downfall, which is now more visible and evident, but still it is very slow and very steady. The only time when we can rise or we can go upward is this. And fortunately we know, and Baba is helping us. So this time becomes much valuable, and it has to be expanded and extended. Each minute means to us not a minute lived, but a minute in which we have made effort. Baba in Hindi says, have you come here to make your life or to live your life? So we are here to make our future life, so many, for so many years. Just as if a fly passes through a camera, on the screen, it will look like a big truck. Similarly, if a minute gained here, we get a gem. And if a minute lost, we lose that gem also. So how much we lose and how much we gain, and it depends on the state in which we live, and that depends on the love that we have. And another very, very important spiritual principle is, you cannot give what you do not have. And you can only give what you have, and give only that much which you have. And whether you communicate orally or not, we are communicating all the time through vibrations, through our actions, all the time, whatever we have got. So we are communicating our good as well as our weaknesses to others. Now, it means, for example, anger. If I want to show anger on someone, can I do it without making myself angry first? Can I do it? If I am in very cool and composed state, can I lift my hand and beat someone? No. So first, I have to heat myself up to 100 degrees to be able to pass 80 degrees of anger to the other person. So who burns first? I. Same principle applies. You cannot deceive anybody unless you first deceive yourself. Because it is a basic deception that I can deceive people. I get deceived in the process. Similarly, you cannot love people unless you love yourself first. So if you will look inside and ponder over it, you will find that we are neglecting to love ourselves. Because of our weaknesses, inside of it, there is a conflict going on in us. And I will tell you a story of what happened to me in Bombay 2 years ago. I rarely go to Bombay. In my school college days I used to go. My father's company's headquarters was there. At that time also Bombay had suburban trains, but there was hardly any crowd. People could get easily seated coming out. So nowadays, to enter a Bombay's train is a different story. So 2-3 years back, I went to Bombay to conduct a yoga bhatti at a center, which was in an extreme area of the Bombay. And from there, one day they told me that, brother, you go to another center also and do a class. I said, okay. They took me in the car, but there they told me that on way back it will be dark and this area is prone to certain mischiefs. So we will not take you in the car. On way back you go in the suburban train. I said, okay. Now the senior brother of that person came to leave me in the train. Last 3 trains had to go only. He got a first class ticket. There Now first class and other class doesn't matter. People get into anywhere they get their seat. Nobody can dare to check their tickets because it is so crowded. So they put me, they said, you stand here, and after 5 minutes the train comes. So I stood. So people came out of that like water comes out of a dam, and I was pushed back, and they just, and hardly I could enter, the train started. So I missed that train. Now I waited for a second train. So I thought I will be more vigorous and try to push. So I got prepared. The second train came. And I tried, used all my physical power to enter. But only I got some biting on my body. And still I could not penetrate and missed the second train also. Now only last train or I go back. So meanwhile I had seen how other people enter. So what they were doing, they were standing sideways on both sides of the, where the gates were expected to be there. And as the crowd came out, they slipped sideways only inwards and they got into it. So this time I also decided to do the same. Now I stood there and my brother was there to help me. So first of all my specs went off and somehow I caught it because I used to play cricket in my college days. I put it in my pocket. Out as the last passenger I was able to get into it. Anyhow, I was, in these days if you get in the train like that, you feel you have got paradise. Huh? Okay. Small gains. So when I reached there, my subject there was imbibing good qualities. So I said, why not use the same example? So I told them that every day in Baba Murli says, children, you learn to be peaceful, be loveful, be very cheerful, and inside we are listening every day. So I said, yes. Peace, love, cheer, yes. Achha. Then Baba says, you shouldn't have jealousy, you shouldn't have ego, don't show moods, yes, no jealousy, no ego, no moods. So we instruct our mind, jealousy, ego and anger, go out, and peace, love, fear, get in. So at the door of our mind, they want to pull out and those want to get in and they are stuck. So we are wondering then, how is it? So many years pass, this thing doesn't go out and this thing doesn't get in. The reason is this. It is called special spiritual stress of the Brahma Kumaras and Kumaris. We are special children, so we have special type of stress. So this is how it comes. So unless and until we make space for a good thing to enter, and it is already overcrowded with so many other things, even if it enters, where will it stand or sit? So that is the thing. So therefore we must make space, and then we will be happy. So Baba says, make space by reducing useless thoughts, burn them away, then you will have plenty space. And then whatever we think, we will be able to do also. Otherwise we think of doing so many things, good. But because of the Maya's kingdom, negativity gets powerful. And positive sanskars are very weak. We have an idea, I will attend Amrit Vela every day tomorrow. Very weak. And if you have some seat to occupy or something, very strong. Reason is, this is the rule of Maya. Just as ice will condense easily in the hills, up the hills, Himalayas. But here, if you bring it ice in July, it will melt. Similarly, here if you lit fire, it will be lighted quickly. If you light fire in the Himalayas, it will extinguish. So it's a question of whose kingdom it is. So it's everywhere Maya's rule. We are of course trying to overthrow it. With Baba's help we will do it. But never try to do it with your own power. This is another thing. If a BK tries to use your own power only, success will not be full. Because what is the power left with us? Right from golden age, our battery is getting discharged, like a mobile battery. Now, we charge it from Baba. And we are supposed to charge it and keep it, and use Baba's direct power, direct current, and keep this battery in reserve for golden age downwards. If we start using our own battery now itself, then what will we have in stock for the golden age? So when direct current is available, don't use the battery. And with Baba's power, we have to overcome Maya, not with our own power. As soon as you say, I do, this is also I consciousness. We have left to Baba. Baba says, I take your load, why you are carrying it on your shoulders? They say there was a person in a village, never got into a train. So people said, you are walking all slowly, you get into a train. So they arrange for his ticket and say, we put you in the train, next station you get down. So he was carrying a big trunk on his head, he used to. So he got into the train and still was carrying that trunk, because he didn't know that if I put it on the floor, I will be light. Same thing we are doing. Okay, any questions?
Isn't it scandalous or unethical or something, especially in the eyes of fellow BKs?
Yes. A BK has the role model of a deity or an angel in front. And he has left behind people who roar with laughter. I don't know whether you have seen Indian Ram Leela or not. The Ravana laughs very loud and roars, and his whole body shakes. The whole ceiling and this hall will also shake. He is called Ravana. And Rama just smiles. So therefore, Baba does not even laugh. You will meet Baba, only smile. So a smile conveys, there is a whole lot of essays written on smile, what a smile can do, you see. So, we are not, a BK is not supposed to, because the Kaljugi people who have got these vices, ego, anger, etc., as soon as some of their vice is temporarily satisfied, they feel so joyful and they start laughing, roaring with laughter, and they are so having such miserable lives. If they see something of joy, they start feeling as if they have got plenty of wealth. Those who have already got plenty of wealth, of virtues in their life, who are extremely satisfied, they need not laugh. Once I had gone to Hyderabad to give a talk on some management people, big company, Nagarjuna. So after my talk, some people gave feedback. So one person said, it was very good but not exciting. So I told him, this talk is not meant to be exciting. I can make it exciting as you make a dish with lot of spices and chilies. But excitement is not everlasting. Excitement by definition means it will come and go. But if it is good or if it's satisfying, it will remain. So, a satisfactory heart enjoying something will store it and keep it in memory, and a smile on the face or will reflect it. But if a person only gets it temporarily and laughs, after that he becomes empty. As they say, if you speak out something, you become empty. You only retain, but you retain is important. Similarly, mere smile it shows your satisfaction. Laughing, I don't think there is anything called laughter in the golden age. We have never seen the deities, statues also, in a laughing pose, but smiling. That Buddha statue which is available in the eastern countries, what is there called, smiling Buddha or laughing Buddha? Laughing? So that is the difference, copper age and golden age. Okay? Yes? Anything else? You know, these days there are laughing clubs also. In the morning, many people go to a garden and they artificially start laughing. They say it adds oxygen or I don't know what. But basically, that is mechanized and artificially arranged. Smile is enough. Haji. Or, so might, yes.
So that if there's someone that you're not on good terms with, or if they do not accept your good wishes, throw your flowers in the basket, and you still have good wishes for them, so you forgive it and forget it, but then you also said to burn it in yoga. So...
not burn your good wishes in yoga.
Not the good wishes, of course. But what I mean is when you're saying burn it in yoga, or the other feelings, when we're having yoga with Baba, we're just thinking of Baba, we are telling
those
Baba,
will automatically burn. You need not tell Baba to burn this thought and that thought. And secondly, all physical gestures require a physical permission for entry. If you press someone's bell, he says, come in or wait. But good wishes, not carrying a bouquet, is a physical thing. Not going even to the person who does not respond, having just good wishes in your mind, firstly will save you from the influence of vibration of that person. It will protect you. Secondly, genuine good wishes will melt that person like a stone or iron melts automatically, because good wishes cannot be stopped by that person. Your physical entry can be stopped, your gift can be returned or thrown, but good wishes don't require a call bell to enter anybody's heart. So they just penetrate, just like radiation enters, it will enter. So only we have not to stop it. I was having good wishes for this person for 6 months, no result, what is the good of my... no. Because good wishes are good for me, first of all. And if I am full of good wishes, that person, maybe something, some misunderstanding or some karma account was there, one day that person will definitely repent, as has happened in all the Sindhi families who stopped the sisters from coming to Gyan. Now they say, we never thought, we never recognized, and so on. Okay, now my time is over, and I always answer 2 questions free of charge. Okay, Om Shanti.